Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Big NBA action last night. Heat all over the Sixers. We have Magic Johnson tweeting about how the Lakers and the Knicks have to get better. We asked you earlier today who has better prospects for next year, New York or L.A. in basketball.
Got the Grizz tonight. We got the Bucks and the Celtics tonight.
Bucks.
Oh, there's
Celtics.
A lot of stuff going on here, boys.
Are you going to be able to catch the second half, Jay?
Yeah, I'm going to land. I'm going to go straight to the arena. But hopefully, I see Ja Morant capture a legacy moment tonight. What'd you say?
You going to take your luggage with you?
I'll leave the luggage in the car.
Okay.
What kind of a question is that?
Well, because he said he was going straight to the arena.
So why? I'm just curious.
Why do you want to know what I'm doing with my luggage?
Why are you tracking his luggage?
Out of my luggage.
But I'm just curious. Why do you get curious about something like that? I'm trying to get an insight into Key's mind for a second.
Out of my luggage.
I'm just trying to figure out what Jay is going to do in Memphis without me.
I see. Yeah. Barbecue. Yeah. What else?
Can I just tell you guys something real quick? Because I was talking to the guys here in studio about it.
Yeah.
I really think tonight is a legacy moment for Ja Morant. All the barking that he's done, the way Steph clapped at him when he got the strip on him down the stretch. You're going against Golden State. You have been one of the best teams in the Western Conference all year long. You got to get this one tonight.
Amen. He had a chance to win the game.
Tonight.
Ball in his hand. You know, Ja, go get us a bucket. But ball in his hand. Real nice play design. Didn't get it done. I mean, I love Ja. I think he will get it done.
Legacy moment, OJ?
I'm just saying it's a legacy moment for him to grab, though, Key. You know what I mean? Like, Ja, if you've been paying attention throughout the year, Ja's been talking a lot after losses. Like, even with them doing the gritty on the Minnesota Timberwolves logo after they won. Right?
Yeah,
like,
but
the
he's last so young.
That's what I'm saying. I'm ready. Like, this is a step in the evolution of him becoming a big dog, bro. He's been nibbling
at
the hand.
You know, they get ready
to take a chunk.
You know, they getting ready to get the broom.
You think they're going to get
set?
No.
I think they're going to get the
broom. They better not.
You know why
they
I think they're
going to
get the broom? Because I think that two nights ago, that heartbreaking loss is carrying over into tonight. And then once they go up north to Oakland, to San Fran, you know, Gold State going to put it on them. And I'm just
That's why they got to get it tonight.
Gentlemen, Tim Legler
of underdog,
is coming
Max.
Up. Tim Legler is coming up. Who's the underdog? Who are you talking about?
Saying, speaking of underdogs, I mean, it feels like Memphis is an underdog, another underdog.
Well,
used to be the
legs,
quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
We're
going to
get into all this with legs in 7 minutes. Meantime, as you mentioned, the Cleveland Browns, we've been asking all morning about Baker Mayfield, asking people if he's not exactly a bust, what would you call his career in Cleveland? We've heard bridge from Jay. We've heard disappointing from Key. We heard jag, just a guy, from someone else. We've heard a bunch of stuff about Baker. Key, I am curious. Because Diana Russini, for me, it's hot news. Like, I didn't know that Cleveland was insisting on some other team picking up the entire bill on Baker this year, which is absurd on its face because, Key, everyone knows they're going to have to cut him and eat the whole thing anyway. So as you said weeks and weeks ago, you work out some deal where you figure out how much each team pays, how much Cleveland pays, how much the acquiring team pays. But apparently Cleveland's trying to play hardball. But it leads to this question, Key. How good is Baker? I actually think he's underrated. How good is he?
All it takes is one fool.
that doesn't sound very good.
No. I mean talking about to take their salary is what I'm saying. It just takes one to take the salary. So they were gonna try to fool somebody if they could. Baker is a good enough quarterback, and I've always said this, to help you get to a Super Bowl. It may even win a Super Bowl with the right stuff around him. He ran out of time in Cleveland. He ran out of time. He got hurt. They went into the season with somewhat a little bit of a reservation with him because they were facing money issues in terms of picked up his fifth-year option. If he balls out, we got to give him a long-term extension. We don't want to give him a long-term extension yet, so let's give him the fifth-year option. Let's see what it is. Uh-oh, he's broken up. Uh-oh, OBJ left. Uh-oh, Landry doesn't like him. Uh-oh, certain people in the locker room don't like him. Oh, by the way, there's this guy who just got cleared of all wrongdoing. Oh, really? What's his name? Well, his name is Deshaun. Pretty good last time we saw him. Oh, he may want to come. And then it became one of those situations where it went fast for Baker Mayfield. But to answer your question, Max, he's a good quarterback that could possibly, on the right situation, help you win a Super Bowl. Here's won't be the reason you won the Super Bowl per right. se, but a part of it to not make the mistakes, kind of lead the charge when you need to throw.
Make two or three plays.
Yeah, make,
you,
yeah.
So, Key,
yeah,
here's what I want to play everyone what Diana Russini actually said on the Browns and Baker.
There is not a team interested, from what I can gather, in Baker Mayfield. The Panthers were the closest. From what I've learned, of course, it goes back to the contract. We've been talking about this for months, right, saying the way they want to divvy up this deal. Cleveland doesn't want to take it on at all. He's due about $18 million. They don't even want to split this thing. And they can't find a team right now that's willing to take it all on.
So, Key, basically, also, like, when we were debating the word bust, Key, Jay, it's and you guys are making the point, like, it's where you take the guy. You know, if you take him first overall and he plays like a high second round pick or a low first round pick, then people are like, well, you underperformed. It's not like when I hear the money that Baker's going to make, I agree, Key. I don't think it's that no team wants him. It's that they don't want him at 18 a year right now. Right.
Well, it's not that no team wants him. OK, but there's no place for him for $50. Like, where does he go? He's not going to play over Jalen Hurts. He ain't playing over Dak Prescott. Tyrod Taylor's in New York. Washington got Carson Wentz. He ain't playing over Buffalo, New England. Tua's happy. They happy with Tua. The Jets got Zach. He ain't going to New Orleans. He ain't going to Tampa. Carolina just drafted a guy. I could go on and on. Rams, Arizona, San Francisco. You so where there's no openings. There's just no openings for a guy who wants to be a starting quarterback. The best situation for him is to beg Seattle to take him and for him to take less money if he wants to compete as a starter. Because he ain't – you want him over Justin Herbert? No, right? Carr? No. Wilson? No. Patrick Mahomes? Ha-ha, laughable. There's no place for him to go.
Key, hypothetically – it's not hypothetical. I have this name in my mind because it reminds me of Baker to a degree. What's the difference between him and Ryan Tannehill?
Tannehill, they just drafted Malik Willis.
Tannehill's more athletic.
And more athletic, okay. By far, not even close.
By far, but I'm just saying.
6 foot four, XY receiver, dominant receiver in college. Hold on. Could actually get away from people.
When Baker was healthy last year, when he was healthy, like, is there that much of a dramatic difference between Ryan Tannehill and Baker Mayfield?
There's a difference. I wouldn't
slightly,
say dramatic, but there's
slight,
a there's a
slight
nah,
difference.
It's not, the size matters. Uh-oh.
What?
Look,
pause.
If Tannehill, if Baker had Tannehill's size and athletic ability,
can we
then
stop saying size,
he'd be a better quarterback. I think Baker's better than Tannehill in certain ways, but he's shorter and slower.
Yeah. Really slower.
Right. So and really shorter, too. So Tannehill, but
so
I look at a guy
matter.
Like Cousins because he's also not that tall and he's not that fast, right? I don't know.
He's not going to start over Kirk Cousins.
No, I know he's not. But if I had a team that I was starting right now to try and win this year, I'd probably rather have Baker. I'd probably rather have Baker than
Kirk Cousins. Kind of
quarterback.
Kirk Cousins kind of cooled the noise off about him.
Baker, forget about this year. He was hurt.
So you're saying
right?
He's too small, Max?
I'm saying that the thing that Tannenbaum says where
you're
height and speed deficient.
And when you small and slow, that ain't –
you wind up getting hurt.
Out.
That's
yeah,
the problem.
Doesn't work out, man. You can't be both.
Right.
Right? You got to have something.
You I'm wouldn't make it in professional football.
I'm a child.
Why?
But I look around the league and who would you take – I think also – guys have investments, teams have investments where the contract isn't coming up on first and second and third year quarterbacks where you're not going to swap Baker out for them. But if you asked who's better at this moment, is Mac Jones better than Baker Mayfield right now, Key?
Yes.
You think
because
so?
Because he's doing everything that they're asking him to do. Baker, and they don't want Baker Mayfield. They don't want Baker
Mayfield. No, I get it, but Baker couldn't do what Mac Jones is doing for
Belichick. I don't think Bill Belichick will ever put Baker in that system.
He could.
I don't think Bill Belichick will ever draft Baker.
He could. He could do that. But that ain't their style. They don't want a little bitty quarterback.
I get it. Just right now, if you said who's better, Mac Jones or Baker, I'd say Baker. I'd take him over Kirk Cousins. I know that's controversial. It's just me. I know you like Trubisky, Key, and maybe Trubisky this year winds up better than Baker, but I don't think that's been true in the past.
I don't think that Mitch Trubisky is head and heels over Baker Mayfield by no stretch of the imagination. I don't think so, but clearly Pittsburgh wasn't looking for Baker.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who else.
Man, I gave you from east to west and all in between.
No, I'm talking about comparisons for quarterbacks, right? Like Jimmy G, I'd rather have than Baker Mayfield.
Yes, Trey Lance, more than Baker Mayfield.
I guess. I don't know anything about Trey Lance, really. What do I know about Trey Lance as a pro?
He ain't little and he ain't slow.
Yeah, that's true. I know those things, and now you're starting to hear good things out of camp more than or out of that team more than you used to, but I can't really give you a grade.
I'd rather
on
have
Trey.
Baker Mayfield and Drew Locke.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone would agree with that. What about dude in Texas?
David Mills?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that ain't he young. He's cost
Baker or Sam Darnold.
I mean, if the Texans wanted Baker over Davis Mills, they would have just taken him back in the Deshaun Watson
trade.
They clearly showed you that they like Davis Mills better than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Davis Mills, Taylor Heineke.
And clearly Carolina didn't want Baker Mayfield. They like Sam Darnold over Baker Mayfield.
Mm.
Because they kept Sam and drafted a young quarterback.
Well, some players on the team may have wanted Sam Darnold over Baker Mayfield, right? Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max is brought to you by CSX. Brought to you by CSX. Veterans, CSX is hiring. Apply at csx.com/careers.
It's not like we're surprising him on anything. Come on, he's literally seen every single coverage. It's not like you can speed him up. You can't rattle him.
And although James Harden hasn't been the player he's been in the past, I think they know he's someone who's capable of going for 40, 50, even 60 points possibly. So they threw everything at the book at him with different coverages, different looks. Several different guys guarded him.
But, hey, it ain't easy winning in the playoffs. You're going to face great teams, great players.
Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, joins giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And Key J, no matter how many times I tried to tell Legs yesterday that Harden wasn't going to get it done against Miami, he just wouldn't listen. Legs.
Clarify that comment, please,
right.
And tell the
legs,
truth. Tell the truth.
Pastries, Max.
I hate telling the truth when it doesn't make me look good. Legs was saying, if we're talking Harden today, it means bad things for the Sixers. Yeah. And sure enough, we lead with Harden.
First name out of everybody's mouth is James Harden. I said it was going to have to be Maxey. We had to be talking about Maxey first because that would have meant Maxey had a 35-point game, and Maxey is the guy that got it done for them. And you're not going to pound Maxey for playing poorly because he's 21 years old. So I knew if he's the headline, that's a great thing. And he wasn't. It was James Harden because, again, and I'm really kind of fascinated right now that more people, that so many people are so reluctant to admit that you're not going to see what you think you're going to see from James Harden.
I've been
seeing this for the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand why you think anybody thinks all of a sudden he's just going to go out there in game two and give you 35 efficiently. He's just not capable of doing that against really good defenders anymore. And that's the bottom line. He had 12 ISOs last night. 12. He had 4 points.
I mean, not exactly on a team built to help him in terms of shooting.
No, but they didn't help him at all with the 3-point shooting. I agree, but I'm just saying, and I just did a touchscreen on this on Get Up. He doesn't win matchups he's supposed to. Switches with P.J. Tucker on him. He's supposed to win that. Bam Adebayo jumping out of 25 feet. You're supposed to put him in your rearview mirror.
Legs Tyler Hero or Max Strus. Like
or
they targeted
Gabe
them multiple
Vincent.
Times. Gabe Vincent, multiple times.
It didn't matter who it was. Look, 6 for 34 out of their 3-point shooters, the stable of guys around him. That's not helping him because you're not creating any extra space. But I'm just talking about his initial acceleration and burst is not there. And he ends up in really difficult spots with turnovers and forced attempts in the lane when he does shoot. Only 13 shot attempts by the way, which is just such a low number in a game without Embiid. You're thinking he's going to take 20, 25 shots to give yourself a chance. And the reason he took 13 shots, he can't separate to get more shots. That's the problem.
Like, that was the most shocking thing. I said yesterday, when we talked about this on Get Up, that I thought he was going to be exposed, right?
Yeah.
And exactly what you're saying, this is who James Harden has been. But still, for him to only take four shots in the second half, man, like, it's almost like if you're going to go out, you need to go out at least shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't understand the lack of aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I think part of it is because of this. Look, the way he feels physically right now, right, he knows if you add another 8, 10, 12 shots onto his total last night, I got news for you, Jay, unfortunately. Those are not going to be quality attempts. They're going to be very difficult step-back threes. They're going to be really tough floaters in the lane with some guy draped on you and then Bam Adebayo stepping up, or just some forced shot at the rim. So now he has, you know, 25 shots, but it's like 8 for 25. And I think he knows that. And so as a result, he tries to get it going a little bit early. And then I think he just literally gives into the concept of, I just can't do it. He gets fatigued. He had a play last night in the second half. He picked the ball up off a ball screen. He wasn't really guarded, and he tried to throw a skip pass to the opposite corner that got intercepted easily. And it just was like, that is so beneath elite-level offensive
confidence
players in this
shot.
League. Confidence, his stamina. I think he's looking around at like not having enough help. Their depth is not very good on that team. Their shooting isn't very good. And it's just the weight of it is collapsing him.
Legs, Doc, I don't want to call him Doc. I don't think they want me to call him Doc. They want me to call him Glenn. Could Coach Glenn, as my guy Yates says, who's a big Philly fan.
Don't give into that key.
What could Coach do to free him up and get him going?
The number one thing we were just talking about, I was just talking about this with J.B. Bickerstaff, who's on set, and we were talking about it, and you want to play faster. So he needs more opportunities early up the floor. The problem is he doesn't like playing that way. So it's easy to say, hey, we're going to play small. We're going to take, you know, these centers that can't score off the floor. We're going to play small. And just see if that bothers Miami at all. Spread them out. Five guys that can play off the dribble or catch and shoot. Problem is James Harden doesn't want to play fast. He plays at a certain pace and a certain rate that makes it really difficult. I think the one adjustment could be you don't see DeAndre Jordan. You don't see Paul Reed. You don't see
five
any
bullet
of the
to five.
Bigs.
What are you going to do?
You just play five, literally play five guards, and you play dribble, kick, catch, and shoot. And look, Boston took 53s in game one. Maybe that's what Philly has to do, and you hope that Niang makes five. Danny Green has one of those nights he makes four or five, and you have at least a chance to hang in. Look, I don't think it's going to work because I said yesterday they're not winning a game without Joel Embiid in this series. Any game they play that he doesn't play, they're losing.
Rough sledding. You know, J.B. Bickerstaff was here earlier, and to combine what you two are saying, you tell me what you think of this picture of Harden, because the league was, remember, a couple of years ago, we're not going to let just guys create offensive fouls, you know, essentially create fouls with their offense, draw contact, and how's that going to affect Harden? Well, then he goes to Brooklyn. So we never really know because he's playing more of a point guard with real shooters around him, and he can shoot the lights out. Now, all of a sudden, 2 years later, now he's a little older, a little slower, but combine that in a league, especially in the playoffs, they're not just going to blow the whistle for you, and now you have no shooters around you. It's kind of the perfect storm to make him look terrible, Legs, maybe worse than he actually is.
I think it's a very fair point, and I think I was watching last night. One thing that did stand out to me, in his defense, he's not getting the benefit of the doubt on these drives anymore with the calls, and part of it's because he's not leading the league in scoring. He's not a 35 to 40 point player most nights. He's not an electrifying, unstoppable offensive force. So now those benefit of the doubt calls where a guy's like riding his hip and he's going up in traffic and he's getting that whistle, now they just look like really bad, futile attempts at the rim because he's not getting the call. And I thought there was two or three last night. He clearly got hit, but it's almost like reputational, too. Mm. He's not that guy anymore, so the officials aren't quite giving him the benefit of the doubt on that either. It's tough, man. Listen, they got one shot to make it interesting in game two. Tyrese Maxey has to be, like,
that
electric.
Dude.
And he's capable, but he's 21. I'm not going to lay this at his feet. It's more about Harden, and I think people just keep thinking, well, he's got to do this, and he's got to be better, and he's got to shoot more. He just isn't capable of being that guy.
Legs, you know who is that offensive force? Luka Doncic, who had last night 45 man. Points, 12 yeah. assists, 8 rebounds. Unfortunately for them, Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie didn't really show up to the party the way they did in round one. But a glaring thing for me as Phoenix kind of dominated that game from the beginning to end, even though Dallas made a run later, like I'm looking around the league and I'm saying, okay, I saw what Jalen Brunson did last series, and he played his tail off against Utah, which Jason Kidd schemed for brilliantly, going small, really putting Rudy Gobert in a lot of pick and rolls. But at the end of the day, doesn't Dallas need another star to go alongside Luka Doncic? I don't believe they have it. Is that a guy like Zach LaVine? Like, don't they need somebody if they're going to want to have Luka Doncic stay in Dallas for his entire career to help them get over this hump?
100%. And I said at the beginning of this, we did a thing like wrapping up the last decade, getting ready for the next decade in the NBA. And I said the next decade will be defined by where Luka Doncic decides to play, because he needs to play with another guy on that level. And now you're talking about a guy that's going to win multiple MVPs. He's going to win championships if you give him that. You know, a one-man band, which is what they were last night. I'm not saying that, you know, it'll continue that way. Brunson will be a lot better. Dinwiddie needs to be much more aggressive. It's not going to beat a team that good, that complete in Phoenix.
Is there a little too much Harden in Luka's game in the sense that he outscored the rest of his team? You know, like he monopolizes the ball as great as Luka is. And it becomes a one-man show?
The only thing I'll say is some nights I agree with that, Max. When I watch him, and you and I have talked about this, I didn't feel that way at all last night. This is a guy who was looking around last night saying, man, it has to be me.
Brunson was just cold.
And he'd drive and kick, and there'd be guys like he'd expect that guy to then make a play off the dribble or shoot it, and then it would come right back to him like a magnet. What do you want him to do? So then he just decided at some point, you know what? I'm just going to go. And he physically overwhelmed him. If I'm Jason Kidd, the one thing I felt good about after last night, my best guy really at no point looked uncomfortable. Mm. That's a good sign, knowing that those other two guys, the key ball handlers, they've got to be so much better. Brunson, foul trouble hurt him. Dinwiddie, I mean, he literally was non-existent last night. He has to be so much more aggressive in game two.
Luke has been giving the whole world work since he was 15. I mean, you know, he can play. That is the great Tim Legler, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Legs.
Thanks, all right. Legs.
Appreciate it.
10-game winning streak. And it's going completely under the radar.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is a really good win. You know, we didn't generate a ton offensively.
10 in a row, the Yankees have put the Blue Jays away by a score of 3-2, and the Yankees keep rolling along.
I don't know where it ranks. It's just that's a good win against a really good team.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. And we have Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, host of Baseball Tonight podcast. You can follow him at Buster_ESPN with us right now. What's going on, Buster?
What's going on?
Should I say Buster what it is right now? Buster?
What it is, what it is.
Yeah, Bust, I see you, Buster, Bust.
Buster, the by far greatest franchise in the history of American team sports, the 27-time world champion New York Yankees, are crazy hot so far this season. What's been the key to their 10-game winning streak?
Their defensive upgrades. Look, they got a lot of flack during the offseason because they didn't go out and sign the most expensive player, the all-star shortstops. They just focused more on just trying to upgrade at individual positions around the infield, a catcher, you know, trading Gary Sanchez, third base, they pick up Josh Donaldson, second base, Gleyber Torres moving there, re-signing Anthony Rizzo. And I think the biggest difference maker so far has been their new shortstop, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who the day that they got him in a trade with the Minnesota Twins, Aaron Boone called him and Isaiah said, "You got the right guy." You know, this is someone who went to Yankee Stadium when he was 10 years old after playing a tournament in Cooperstown. He grew up in Hawaii, loved the atmosphere at Yankee Stadium, and it was always a dream of his to play there. And now he's their shortstop. He's making a tremendous difference. If you look at the defensive metrics early in this season, as I tweeted out a little while ago, it suggests a dramatic improvement. Last year, they were minus 41 in defensive run saves. That's 29th out of 30 teams. So far this year, they're plus 13. That's the seventh best in baseball. It's making an enormous difference.
Yeah, I love that trade for Falefa. I mean, everyone was focused on Donaldson, and he brings a bat at third and some defense at third. And Rizzo is a real first baseman who also has a left-handed stroke for Yankee Stadium. But Falefa is the kind of defensive player that they haven't had at short since, I mean, I don't know, like maybe a year of Alvaro Espinoza or going back to Bucky Dent. He's really a gold glove caliber. He won one at third, but like a real high-end defender.
100%. And on a daily basis, you know, he's the guy who, when he comes through the door, high energy, very consistent personality, very confident. You go back and you talk to people from his past, and they all have stories about, like, for example, when he was with the Texas Rangers, Jeff Bannister's former manager asked him, "Hey, what's your best position?" And his response was, "What position do you want me to play?" Like, that's what he's bringing every day. The Yankees have felt that. The Rangers certainly felt that, and certainly the Yankee pitchers are feeling it in terms of the efficiency of the defense with what he's bringing.
Buster only joining us here, our baseball MLB insider on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Buster, I have to tell you, and this is why I love sports and I love athletes, because sometimes when they bet on themselves, they make one hell of a decision. Aaron Judge is just one home run shy of teammate Anthony Rizzo for the league lead. How important of a quick start was that for Judge, considering the contract negotiations getting pretty ugly at the end of spring training?
It was huge because, let's face it, generally speaking, I think the reaction here in New York among fans was they didn't understand why Judge didn't take the Yankees' offer, which, you know, about $230 million. And if he had gotten off to a bad start, if the team hadn't played well, I think he would have started hearing it from the fans. But he's off to a great start. And your point about betting on him, if he winds up having this monster year, he competes for American League MVP, you know, the Yankees are successful, you know that when he goes into free agency in the fall, there's going to be some team owner with another club that's going to say, "You know what? We'll take that guy. We'll bet on him. We'll invest in him to be the face of our franchise," in part because you can sell him to a fan base. And so Aaron Judge, you know, who knows? Maybe he winds up getting $350 million, something close to what Mookie Betts got, $100 million more than what the Yankees offered.
Steve Cohen? Buster, Steve Cohen, maybe?
It would be fascinating. It would be fascinating if he were to do that. I mean, let's face it. The one thing Steve Cohen has demonstrated so far, the Mets owner, is that he's willing to pay whatever it takes to get his team to win. And maybe Aaron Judge will be that guy this winter.
Hey, I've been hearing something that is kind of shocking to hear. Do you think that Anthony Rizzo is the most talented first baseman that the Yankees have had since Don Mattingly was the best player in baseball in the mid-'80s? So that includes Tino Martinez, Mark Teixeira, names like that?
I would not put Rizzo at this stage of his career over Tino or Mark Teixeira. You know, and maybe it's because I covered Tino for 4 years and saw his impact on a daily basis. I'd have a hard time putting Rizzo over that. I would say this. He has a swing that is made for Yankee Stadium, right? In recent years, we've talked so much about how that lineup was so right-handed. Well, Rizzo's demonstrating this year, you know, how balance can work, how Gene Michael's philosophy of loading up your lineup for the Yankees with left-handed hitters would pay off. And what an investment to bring him back on a two-year deal after, you know, missing out on Matt Olson when Oakland was dangling him out in the trade market.
Every time the Yankees have ever won a World Series, always a lot of lefty power.
But yep.
Buster, I hear you on the – by the way, DJ LeMahieu, they have guys who can pick it in the field, make contact now, a much more balanced kind of team, and it's showing up in the results for sure so far. Not to mention, Buster, the starting pitching. Severino back, that's a high-end starter, and the other three guys in the rotation, Cortez and all these guys, are like, you know, everyone's five and dive now. But those are nice. Jordan Montgomery, they can pitch.
And a dominant bullpen. And let's face it, a guy like Jordan Montgomery, you know, with that sinker and the changeup that he has, left-hander throwing away to right-handed hitters, he needs a defense, right? When the ball's hit on the ground and they have an opportunity to get an out or to get two outs, he needs a defense behind him that can do that, and this year he's got one.
Guys, it feels so good. I just let the endorphins wash over me talking Yankees with Buster. Randy. Oh, it's so good. It's what I live for. Thanks, Buster, as always.
Thanks, guys.
That's Buster only, ladies and gentlemen. So, a suspension that I think would be getting a lot more buzz, actually, if it was in baseball.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. I have a question. Jay, you are a parent, but you are actually a less experienced parent than I am. I want to ask a more experienced parent something, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I don't question your parenting skills.
Your son's already
saying ball all the time, so you're a better parent than I am.
The guy has to learn more than just basketball, Jay, okay?
I disagree.
He's
but
one.
Anyway.
That's all I want him to stay focused on. I'm not trying to pay for college. Go ahead,
Mills. Yeah, I disagree. If he can make the NBA, you did great. Key. So this is what I need to ask you, man. I got a 13, 10, and 7, right? All girls.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have dinner
you
all
have hell.
I like to have dinner all together sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the 13-year-old has got practice, this, that, always, you know, she's not back till like 7 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd love to get the little one in bed by 8:30. She's tired, man. She goes to bed 9:30. She's tired the next day, right? So I'm trying to get her in bed early, but if the oldest one's not back until 7, then she's got to get in, take off her backpack, all this kind of stuff, get her homework set up. We're not eating until whenever. Now the little one's going to bed. How do you negotiate all that?
Well, I got different age groups as well. But my daughter sometime at 12, she's a little home later because she has volleyball, what the case is.
Right.
The food's already made. My youngest daughter eats at 5:30. And if my son is there, we'll all eat together. And then when my daughter comes home, the food's on the stove.
Every time?
Not every time, but when she needs to. We eat as a family basically on the weekends, mm-hmm. you know, unless we go out during the week, which is not all that much. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we basically eat as a family because they all got different schedules. I can't put the 12-year-old on a schedule with a 2-year-old. That doesn't work that way.
That's the problem. I'm trying to put three girls from really different age range in on the same schedule.
Because I'm sure the girl at 13 doesn't want to be around your ass anyway.
I think she does, but, you know.
No, she doesn't. Max, you're lying to yourself.
Or she's lying. But listen, if you don't lie to your parent at 13, you're doing it wrong. You know, you're supposed to be lying to your parents sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. She wants to go in her room, get on her phone, talk to her homegirls, talk to her teammates.
Oh, Jay, wait till
Plus,
you
Plus, Max, they're city kids, though. That's, you know, like, you tell me stories about when you were in the city as a youngin'.
So bad. Oof. Yeah. No,
it's
you
a
don't.
Lot of stuff
yeah,
to but get that's involved what
in times have changed, though.
But kids want to, and she's only 13. Wait till she gets 15. She really is not going to want
to
deal with you.
I was going to clubs since I was like 11 years old. Like they had clubs for like kids in New York in the 80s. It was crazy.
I'm tying mine to the room. She's not able to. She's not leaving.
Yeah.
Food is in the microwave, man.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to force it all together. I like it sometimes.
I call that some other stuff, though, Max. Might not be able to say it on the air.
What do you mean some other stuff? What are you trying to say?
More your style than mine.
People my shade, you're saying? All right, we're back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will. And Max.
Diana Russini.
What's up with the DMs, Di?
Nobody messages me like, man, I love your knowledge. You really put Max in his place. Everyone's like, your toes are sexy.
What?
It's like, I don't want to hear that.
Whoa, the toes are. Do you have the toes out today? I'm not in studio. I can't see it.
She clearly takes great care of them, you know?
Thank you, Max. I cannot stand a man that has nasty feet. I think it tells you
that's why Max keeps your shoes on.
Exactly.
Max, right, you always do have your feet when we're in studio, just FYI for people that can't see us because we're on radio most of the time, but you always curl your feet. You cross them. Why is that? It's like awkward feet
position. It alleviates pressure on my lower back if I'm sitting down like this and I cross them over, just like the ankles, it just feels better on my back. Yeah. What can I tell you?
When last time you had on some sandals, Max?
Oh, Key. When I lived in L.A., I went to get pedicures regularly. You had to keep them looking right. But plus, Key, not just New York, the pandemic hit. So I didn't have to go anywhere.
You got lazy.
Oh,
so now you go.
Gnarly.
So now you got 5-inch toenails.
It's bad news, man. The whole thing is bad news. I got to, first of all, not to get too graphic, but I'll do
it. But you're about to. You're about to get
into
shaving.
When the warm weather hits, I have to shear myself down like a sheep.
Because you got a lot. It pokes. Yeah. When you wear sometimes the collar shirts, it pops outside of the collar.
No, I can't
it's
do
not,
it, man. I can't
not
do it.
A great visual.
I can't do it. I come from a hirsute kind of tribe, as they say, a hirsute tribe. You can look that up.
Did you ever see that episode of Martin when Shanae was had her nail salon?
I'll just say no right now. No.
Well, I'm not you, Evan. I know
I'm
you
sure I have,
it.
But I don't remember.
Where they had the saw, and they had the saw the toenails off the lady.
Yeah.
Oh. Martin was 30 years ago, right?
Man, we watched that every single day.
I know. It's just 2022. You could have just stopped. Updated references, man?
You could have just stopped with, have you seen that episode of Martin? And the answer would have been no for me.
But you know what's funny? You get
how
to a certain
not,
age.
That is one of the most iconic comedies on television. This is not Seinfeld.
I've heard of it. I just didn't watch it.
Oh, my God.
I'm not too American. I'm not the right demographic.
Reach over there, please, and pop him for me one time.
I caught it as soon as you said, Martin.
Too American.
Or when Gina was clipping her nails and that joint flew into the camera.
Yes. Like, come on. And then, Jay, you sitting over there co-signing?
No, yeah, I didn't co-sign. I just know. No. Don't jump on this, Max. All I'm saying to you, Key, is that this? We need some reference updates. It's 2022.
Well, I'm trying to tell you, Jay.
So it's okay.
That when you get to a certain age, it's sad, but you say 30 years, but when you think back, it doesn't feel like that long
Martin
ago.
Martin is on every single day. I've been watching when I can.
What channel is Martin on now?
It's on all streaming networks.
Man, I haven't seen an episode of Martin just flipping channels in probably decades.
Really? That's what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh,
I've
God.
I've seen it on YouTube.
But you've seen Seinfeld, right, Jay?
Yes, when you flip channels,
I don't
you can
watch
get
Seinfeld
it,
either.
You watch Seinfeld and Cheers and all that
Cheers.
Stuff.
First
but you're not going to watch.
Why is the tone of your voice when you say Cheers go that way?
Martin's on HBO Max, Jay. Come on.
Yeah, Jay.
Really?
Yeah, get him,
all
Yates.
The black cinema is now on
yes,
streaming.
Yes, Jay.
Huh. Martin hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Huh. Yes,
what
Jay.
What else?
Hanging with Mr. Cooper, I actually did see that show. That's a great one. That's all-timer.
Yeah, Jay, living
Key,
single.
Key, I got watch Insecure, Key. Watch
Ooh.
Insecure.
Elite TV.
Watch Insecure. Watch something update. That's what I'm trying to get you updated.
I'm trying to tap you into the iOS new system here. Insecure. Have you seen that?
No, but I will see, now
see,
that you Yates, told me.
Don't talk
it's
to me,
Ray,
Yates,
you got to tap into that, kid.
But it's easy. But it's easy. All you got to do is tell me, but I'm not going to act like Martin is iOS. Such.
No
I'm
Sanford
not
going to
act like
Jay.
Martin is not like no. iconic or something.
I was born in 81.
You never watched Sanford and Son?
No.
What?
Ain't no way, yo.
Ain't no way in the world, Jay.
Ain't no way, Jay.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way in the world. See, man, I have to. Come on, man. Turn that card in, Jay.
Turn what card?
You big dummy.
Man, come on, man.
There's no way you didn't. You've never seen. Okay, come on. You've seen
it. Oh, the big one's coming.
You've seen
it. Did you see the Jeffersons, at least?
I saw the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
And how did you see Sanford? So you don't know Lamont?
No.
What? Oh, God.
Billy, you're so stupid.
Jay was too busy trying to become the best basketball player on earth.
In the world, by the way, it worked out.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean anything. On the other hand, trying to become the best football player.
There's an
I still saw Sanford and Son.
There's a trade-off, Jay.
You, were
you
born
don't know
55.
Sanford and Son.
He almost got cussed out just now with a really harsh word.
Yeah, I know.
That Jersey stuff, Jay. How you
yeah,
not I
about
Sanford?
Come out real quick.
Yeah, man, that's that Jersey
I
stuff,
don't
man.
Know. I just never.
No, they watch Sanford and Son in Jersey. Come on.
No.
Something got to give.
It's
man.
All the same man. Channels, on, man. The Channel 11. You know,
a
it's
different
all the
world. Living single. Like, yeah. I
come on,
seen
man.
Stuff
that,
like that.
That
I've never seen
different
Sanford
world.
And Son.
Like, come on.
What do you mean? You never watch a different world?
That's
I'll give
like
you one
yesterday.
He definitely never saw, Keith.
What are you talking like yesterday?
Chico on, and man. The Man, I know you never saw, Jay.
I saw Chico the Man. He
right.
never
Jay,
saw Chico.
No, if you like haven't seen Sanford, so no way you saw Chico and the Man.
I'm watching IG. Y'all talking about MySpace. That's what I feel like right now.
Okay, but Sanford and Son was a great
but
show.
But were you coding on MySpace,
I'm on
Jay.
Twitch. You know what I mean?
What's that?
Y'all saying, what's wrong with your eye?
What
that's
is.
What I'm saying.
Keith,
it's different worlds we're in right
no,
now.
No, I don't know what Twitch is.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm trying
does
to put you up on NFTs.
Does it do anything
in
my life?
I started my own NFT. I'm going to gift you to
Key, I figured it out. Does this have something to do with the metaverse, Jay?
Oh, God, here you go.
It has nothing to do with Twitch. Has nothing. Twitch can't help me or you in our life, Max.
Yeah, I was.
Nothing,
I don't know.
Does nothing for us.
Maybe there's a Twitch NFT or something. Is that in the metaverse
NFT.
Also?
This is embarrassing, Yates.
NFT for Martin, Jay?
Now I'm in with that. Now you're talking about language, Yates.
Can we go ahead and purchase it through crypto?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to a streaming service, and I'm going to use crypto to get an NFT Twitch or something.
Who wants to fly in a vehicle in the sky that thinks we can cut down on travel time? Well, who flies in planes? We have cars. That's how you guys sound right now.
By the way, I'm still waiting for the flying cars.
Me too. Convertible. Yeah. I'm going to get the first one.
Key, see, now you're talking technology I can wrap my head around. You know
flying
what I mean?
Cars.
Tell me, forget about the metaverse and all. Give me a flying car. I'll mortgage my house for that one.
Yeah, I'm going to get a flying car, but I'm also going to buy me a house that's virtual that I can walk into and sleep.
I'm going to buy right next to yours, yeah.
Virtual house.
There are such things, boys.
In the metaverse, there's a flying
there
car, right?
I'm telling you, in 5 years,
yeah.
You will be putting on your Oculus. And you will have shared experiences with your kids at live events through virtual. Just mark it down.
Yeah, that may be true.
You won't have to leave your house. You can go there if you want, but you'll be able to have that virtual real experience.
That may be true.
A virtual
but it ain't
experience.
My damn house, and I can't sit at the table.
And you'll be holding your
family.
Cane around like, is that real? What is that?
I mean, I think we have an Oculus. I put it on. I didn't know how to use it. It looked pretty good, though. I don't know.
See, I'm just trying
to look around a little bit. It's too hard to use. It's not user-friendly enough.
Just turn it on.
And, Jay, I got beachfront property in Arizona for you, too. 2 acres.
With
a lot of ocean.
Key, like con men from everywhere. Like, where was this con when we were growing up? Hey, I got one. There's a virtual bridge I want to sell you.
Stop talking about Baker Mayfield, okay? Leave bridges alone.
Virtual bridge.
We're making Jay mad, Max. He's going to hate us.
Y'all ain't making me mad. I'm pissed off. I'm way more
Jay,
than
you're going to be really rich, and we're going to be asking, huh?
Yeah, that's okay.
Hey, why did they change the name of ESPN? Well, you know, Jay bought it for $70 billion. How did he do that? Hey, did you hear this? What? I heard Jay is getting NBC as well as ESPN, and he's
putting
Max it together.
Max lived next door to Elon Musk. He could have been on this from the beginning.
I sure did.
Well, Jay, you know, I live next door to Elon Musk, and I
we shared
in Bel Air, and he was my neighbor.
We shared a fence in Bel Air.
I only got three or four stories, man. You know you're going to hear that one.
Scratched his car.
I didn't play in the league.
I can tell you, 405 freeway is very crowded.
That's it. By the way, if you learn two more of my stories, you got the whole thing. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Key, I can't believe you took my black card, man.
Reminder, Jets, GM, Joe Douglas, we're going to do a Sanford and Son marathon, you and me.
The fact that you did that on national, I have major beef with you, Keith.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.